like to begin reading to you from verse 14. Zephaniah chapter 3. I'm reading from two portions of Scripture. I'd also like to read from Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I looked up that word joy in the Hebrew, and it means to dance and to leap and to shout and to jump around and clamor foolishly. I'm talking about God dancing over his church. I know what makes Pentecostals dance. Get this choir going, that makes Pentecostals dance. But I want to know, what makes God dance? Now, Handel wrote a hymn many years ago and took it from this text. And he wrote it, and this was his title, When the Father Dances. Now, I'd like to preach to you from this text tonight. The Dancing Father. The Dancing Father. I want God to dance over this church in North Carolina. But that's Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament and see whether or not Jesus ever danced. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. I want to know, did Jesus ever dance? And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. The word there is agileo. We get our word agile from. It means to jump around, leap, and dance. Jesus said, when I see my disciples taking down cities and destroying the kingdom of the devil, he said, hold on, boys. It's time for me to dance. I feel a holy anointing in this place. Are you ready to get God dancing over this church? Because I'll tell you what will happen. He said, I'll gather the sorrowful out of the solemn assembly. I'll deliver you from every affliction. I'll release you from every burden. I'll gather everyone that's been driven out. I'll get you praise and fame throughout the whole land wherever you might go. And I'm going to turn your captivity right before your very eyes when God starts dancing. Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord for his word. Lord Jesus, come to praise you here tonight. You are the dancing Father. We ask that you would minister, set free, help us to realize our potential in the Spirit. And we will praise thee forever and forever. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. According to the text that I read to you tonight, it seems to me that God cannot dance over us just simply because We claim to have the Holy Ghost. Just because we have repented and been baptized in Jesus' name and claim a new birth experience according to the book of Acts, the 2nd chapter and the 38th verse, does not seem to be enough criteria in itself to cause God to begin to dance and rejoice over His people with singing. But it does seem, when I read my text, that when the church awakens to who she really is and realizes the power she has over the powers of darkness and the ability she has to take cities for the name of Jesus Christ, that causes my God to dance over His people. Just because you claim a new birth experience is not enough to cause Jesus to rejoice. But when you realize what that experience can do, damage to the kingdom of the devil, when you realize that experience can conquer strongholds and win and convert lost people to the kingdom of God, something about it, the Lord says, it's time for me to say, hey, Pentecostals, step aside. I gotta dance now. Friend, He can't dance over a people that can't enjoy coming to church. He can't dance over a people that can't enjoy preaching. He can't dance over a people that have no joy in their walk with God, but sit around soured up all the time with a bad attitude toward the ministry and everybody else. Friend, it's time. If we're going to rejoice in the Lord, we need to do it now. We need to let the world know, I'm not going to hang my head because I'm apostolic. Jesus' name, one God, tongue talking. Pentecost, right now, I feel in the Spirit, is going through an identity crisis because the media and other religious groups, false religious groups, are labeling us as cults. They are saying that we are under bondage. You don't see me tied down here tonight. I know the district board's here. I know assistant general superintendent's here, but I can walk out of this building and go to any place I want to go. I'm 35. I'm free. I can do anything I want to do. But there's just some things I don't want to do because I don't have a desire to do them. Some places I don't want to go because I don't have a desire to go there. God can't dance over a church that's always fussing, always standing on the line. Why can't I do this? Why can't I go there? Why can't I do that? If you have the true power of the Holy Ghost, like I'm feeling down on the inside of me, you wouldn't have to stand on the line. You'd be so glad you've been set free from sin. You wouldn't care less what this world's doing. You just want to be where the fire's falling. You want to be where the well's springing up in the everlasting life. It's time for this church to get a new attitude of joy about walking with God in righteousness. Hallelujah. I feel that God's trying to tell us something here tonight. I'm not praising God out of fear because somebody's going to thump me on the head. I'm praising God because I love Him. My Bible tells me that judgments have been taken away. God's not hanging over my head with a big baseball bat fixing to knock me out. That's not the reason why I'm praising God. Woo! I've got something better than that. The reason why I'm praising God is because I know what this thing can do. If it gets loose in this house tonight, I know what this gospel can do. I know what the Holy Ghost can do. I know what the power of God can do. Hallelujah! You see, Jesus could not dance over His disciples until the 70 returned from their mission. Jesus had sent the 70 out on a mission. And when they returned, they came back with a report that they were casting out devils. They were preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They were doing the will of the Lord. They were impacting cities and setting up revivals. I said they were setting up revivals that weren't going to take place right then. But when the book of Acts hit, they were going to take place in the book of Acts. They were setting it all up. And when they came back with the report, Jesus said, hey, I got to stop here. I see Satan falling out of heaven like lightning. I see something happening. My people's got a revelation of who they are. Friend, I don't have an identity crisis. I know who I am. I'm a son of the living God. I've repented of my sins. I went down in a watery grave in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. And I've spoken with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives me the utterance. And I still do it every once in a while. A whole lot, as a matter of fact. But I'll tell you what, I'm excited about what I've got. And I want this world to know they can have it. If I got to force you to praise God, sit there. I got to hang judgment over your head to get you to respond to the word, sit there. I'll look at you and you can look at me and I'm going to preach on and enjoy it anyway. You're not going to stop my personal experience and relationship. But if you love Jesus, if you've got a revelation of who you are, if you know what you've got, then you can take it to the street. You can take it back to your local church. You can take it back to Burlington. You can take it back to Raleigh and say, I'm fixing to take the light that God's given me in this Labor Day rally. And I'm going to conquer strongholds. I'm going to see families come in as a result of my teaching them Bible studies. Because I got a desire to accomplish God's purpose. You see, God can't dance over a church that doesn't exercise her authority. He said, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. It's giving you power to do certain things in your city, to conquer souls, homes, lives, and watch them come to church and be changed by the power of the gospel. And when you get that revelation and realize that you can do it, it's not just the preacher's job to do that. It's not just the ministry's job to be a soul winner. It's the whole church's job to be a soul winner. Oh, but Brother Kinsey, I don't know if I can do it. Let me show you. I'm going to read something to you that I found in a Catholic hymnal at a funeral home. Got it out of a Catholic hymnal at a funeral home. The Lord said, take it to my people. It's been dead and hidden in the dead place long enough. It's called The Lord of the Dance. I danced in the morning when the world was begun, and I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. And I came down from heaven and I danced on the earth. At Bethlehem I had my birth. I danced for the scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance and they wouldn't follow me. I danced for the fishermen, for James and John. They came with me and the dance went on. Hallelujah. I danced on the Sabbath and I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped and they hung me on high. And they left me there on a cross to die. But I danced on a Friday when the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought I'd gone. But I am the dance and I'll still go on. Hallelujah. Friend, I don't have a God sitting on a throne, pious, and can't move a muscle. I've got a dancing God. I got a God that dances over His people when they get a revelation of what they can do against the kingdom of darkness, when they get set on fire with the true spirit of evangelism. They cut me down and I leap up high. I am the life that'll never die. I'll live in you if you'll live in me. I am the Lord of the dead, said He. That's just the verse that says the chorus. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. Dance, said he. There's a God that's tired of a church sitting around all bound up with bitterness. Can't get over their hurts. Can't get over their pain. I'll tell you what, I'll give you power over your pain. Get a purpose that's higher than your pain. And start serving the purpose of God. And get behind your pastor. And say, Pastor, I'm here for revival. I'm here for an evangelistic thrust that's going to take our city for Jesus. I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but I want you to understand this, and I want to give you a certain balance in this message. Not everybody in your city is going to be saved. You're not going to win everybody in the city to Jesus. But I want to win everybody I can. We might as well go out in the highways and byways and get everybody that wants it. Everybody that's hungry. Everybody that's thirsty. Because I'm tired of sitting around all soured up. It's time to worship God. It's time to praise the Lord. God can't dance over me when I'm all bound up and restricted and limited in my worship and my praise. Oh, somebody done me wrong. Well, somebody's done me wrong too, but I'm not going to sit around and gripe about it all the time. I got better things to do than to worry about some aggravating thing. There's some people that are going to be in your life for the rest of your life. And the only thing you can do to them is shoot them. Or praise God. I just soon praise the Lord. But you see, this is what I want tonight. This is what I want. The Bible says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, what we're wanting here tonight is a manifestation of the Spirit. So everybody can profit withal. Now, the word manifestation comes from a unique word because its root word has a funny meaning. It means the dancing hand or the hand that dances. That's what it means, the dancing hand. And the word prophet means some pharaoh, or we get our word symphony from it. So what God's wanting to do is to manifest His Spirit to bring everybody into symphony here tonight. So the hand appears and starts dancing in the church house to lead everybody in the dance. Now, I'm talking about God using leadership to direct your worship. And if leadership says, praise the Lord, don't sit there and look at Him like He's lost His mind. Well, Brother Mark Foster says, praise the Lord, and all we do is just sit around. Well, I don't feel like praising God. But if leadership decides it's time to praise the Lord, you need to lay everything down and start praising God. It's time for the conductor to do a little conducting here tonight. When it's time to travail, you ought to hit your knees and get into a spirit of travail. This business about everybody doing their own thing. We got a Burger King spirit in Pentecost. Have it your way. I'm sorry, honey. You can't come to church and have it your way. You got to have it God's way. This ain't Burger King. This is the house of God. God's way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It won't hurt you to clap your hands when the man of God says to clap your hands. Might take a little of pride off of your hide, but it won't take much else. Might let a little Holy Ghost in. Been a long time too. The Bible says, clap your hands, all you people. It's a command from the Word of God. You don't have to be in some ecstatic spiritual realm before you start clapping your hands. Just come into obedience to the Word of God. And I guarantee you, God will manifest His Spirit in the midst of those who come into symphony. Now, Brother Goddard, I got to compliment the ministers of the North Carolina district. I really do. Now, I've preached in a lot of districts and I've been a lot of places, but boy, y'all are awesome people around here. Now, I'm not just saying this because I really believe in this. I get tired of people telling me what to do and don't do it themselves. Telling me to worship God and can't even move their little finger. Oh, but this bunch, you got to watch this bunch. Because they not only preach it, they do it. Tell you what, you ought to get behind these leaders. You ought to get behind these pastors and evangelists and say, preacher, if you want to preach worship and praise, we're with you. You want to preach holiness and righteousness, we're with you. If it's in the book, we're with you. If it's scriptural, we're with you. If you give us an understanding of what we need to do, we want to do it. That's when God's going to dance. I said, that's when God's going to dance. I danced on a Friday when the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought I'd gone, but I'm the dance and I still go on. You can't stop this. I said, you can't stop this. When it gets rolling, when it gets going, you can't stop this. God's going to dance over this Labor Day rally because somebody's got a revelation. They don't have to sit down. Take the devil's business. Hallelujah. Now, see, I'm a baby boomer. I was raised in a culture that taught me to be passive. Your kids, if they're being educated by secular education, they're being taught now to be passive. Just let it go. Whatever makes you feel good, do it. Whatever's right for you, that's fine. That's passiveness. And people get into a passive mode, and sometimes what's happening in our culture begins to affect the church, and we don't realize it. Our culture is infringing on the truth of the gospel right now in a very subtle, subtle manner. And it's telling leadership, now don't you get too excited about everything. Just let it flow. Just let it go. God will have His way and whatever God wants. How many times have I heard that? But there comes a time when you've got to get tired of what the devil's doing to you and what the culture's doing to you. Don't get aggressive now. Talk about soul winning and wanting to win. Don't get aggressive now. Friend, you're talking to a preacher here tonight that is as aggressive as I know how to be. Because I'm not sitting around and I'm not going to let the powers of darkness and the enemy do anything he wants to do to our churches. I'm going to stand up and fight it. Hallelujah. I mean this from my heart. Brother Kenny Godey preached me under conviction today, and I felt the touch of God's conviction. I can't sit around and just be happy in my experience. I've got to share what I've got and tell somebody else about what Jesus can do for them. And the call from heaven and the call from hell is calling on me right now to let somebody know in this service that the gospel that you have in your heart can impact the world and can impact lost souls and bring them to a knowledge that they need God, and they need repentance. Now, I preach a lot of revivals, and a lot of people receive the Holy Ghost. But I preach this very strongly. You can't get the Holy Ghost till you repent. This is no easy believism. Instant Holy Ghost. You gotta repent! But if you repent, God will forgive you. Hallelujah.
I said, if you repent, God will forgive you. But you got to repent.
Then the Holy Ghost will come on you. You'll begin to speak with other tongues if the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. There are two times in the life of a Hebrew young lady when her Jewish father will dance with her. Now, this is according to Jewish culture. Come up here, April. She's my niece. Come on up here, then. Two times. Now, the Jews have a special time with their family, and they call it communicating the blessing, where the father brings children around and places a blessing. And what he's doing is he's letting them know that there's a special future in store for them because of the inheritance that he's laying up for them. He said, I'm giving you, you can realize special future because you're my child. And we have something in our culture similar to this. It's not quite as deep. It's not quite a little more shallow than that. We like to share promises with our children, like, I'll take you to get an ice cream, or I'll take you to get an ice tea. And they get all happy about it even before they get it. Because they know if Daddy says it, Daddy's going to do it. He's dumb enough to do it. He's dumb enough to stop everything he's doing. Winning the world, saving the lost, doing all these great things to go get these crazy kids an icy. And they get all happy about it and start jumping up and down because they get excited. Then Daddy gets excited. And Daddy begins to dance with his children because of the excitement that's generated by a blessing he is providing them and giving them a special future that his inheritance is going to provide them. And before they ever get it, they get happy about it and start dancing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Get happy about it and start dancing. Now, wait just a minute. God is communicating and placing upon you by his dancing hand here. He's putting his hands on you and giving you a blessing here and letting you know he's got an inheritance stored up for you that you're going to realize one day. You're not going to get it all now. You got a little bit of it. You got the Holy Ghost. Got a little bit of it. But one day you're going to get it all. Now wait, hold on. You're going to get it all one day. But you see, the Father can't dance over a people that don't have faith in their future hope. He can't dance over a people that doesn't have faith in what his blessing has provided. But if you can get excited about the promise before that promise is ever given, that's when Daddy is going to dance with his church. Some of you are saying right now, well, when I see it, I believe it. You're seeing a little bit of it right now. I said that ought to be enough to whet your appetite for a future hope in glory in eternity someday. Praise the Lord. So I think we ought to get happy about this thing before it ever comes to pass. Right now. You might be in the midst of the greatest trial you've ever been in. Pastor, your church may not be in a great throw of revival right now. You might be fighting everything from A to Z. But this preacher has come to provide a blessing for you here and give you a special future that if you'll keep dancing with the Father, if you'll just stay happy in Jesus, keep doing what you've always been doing, standing for the truth, worshiping and praising God. I'm telling you that God is going to break that thing in a little while. But you got to learn to dance with Him before it ever happens. You got to learn to dance with it before it ever happens. You got to act like it's happening when it's not happening. I said, you got to say, Lord, I don't see it yet, but I believe it, because if Daddy said it, I believe Daddy can do it. I believe this very strongly now. God does not expect you to do everything. He just expects you to do what you can do. And He'll do the rest. Simon Peter was locked in prison, bound with chains, had 16 soldiers surrounding him. One apostolic preacher with 16 soldiers, four quaternions, the Bible said, surrounding him. But an angel came while he was asleep, blew open prison doors, knocked chains off of him, knocked down 16 rough, tough, big, bad Roman soldiers. Then after he did all that, he had to smite old Peter on the side and wake him up. He had to wake him up to a deliverance that was already taking place right under his nose, but he couldn't see it. I want you to know, Pastor, I want you to know, Evangelist, that there's a deliverance being worked out right now in the supernatural. And God's fixing to smite you on the side and let you know He's been working all the time. He's been working and setting it up all the time. Hallelujah! But after all of that, after all that supernatural display, blowing doors open, knocking chains off, knocking soldiers down, the angel has the audacity to tell Peter to put his shoes on. Hey man, after you've done all that, the least you can do is come over here and put my shoes on for me. My own personal royal valet service. Not so. I'll open up prison doors. I'll do the supernatural thing. But you're going to put your shoes on. You're going to come to church and be faithful. You're going to pay your tithes. You're going to worship God. You're going to get with the pastor. You're going to do what you're supposed to do. But I'll do what you can't do. I said, I'll do what you can't do. Hallelujah. Friend, when you get that revelation and you start doing what you know you're supposed to be doing with joy and sincerity, then the daddy, the father of this church, the author and finisher by faith, is going to dance over the North Carolina district. But there's one final time when the Hebrew father dances with his baby. Now, this is in the Jewish culture. We don't understand this because it's not in our culture. Now, the engagement process and courtship process in the Bible days was a very complicated and long, drawn-out ordeal. But in the final time, and I don't have time to go through the entire process, it'd take me too long. But in the end, the bridegroom comes to the feast, and he is to take his bride to the bridal suite and claim her for his very own, after the long courtship and engagement process is finally culminated. But before the bridegroom takes the bride away, Daddy dances with his baby one last time. Now, some of you that were out in the world back in the 50s, remember the old country dance. And the old country dance, they had old principles and a lot cleaner lifestyle situation. Well, if there was a young lady at the dance that caught your eye, and you know that she was the one, she's it, you would go up to her and tap her on the shoulder and say, "Save the last dance for me." And if she gave you that look right there, you knew you had it. Save the last dance for me. And if she agreed, gave you that certain look, that not only entitled you to the last dance, you also had the privilege of taking her home that night, walking her to her door. God's talking to us right now. Said you've danced with a lot of partners. You've been busy with this and you've been busy with that. You've been dancing with this partner and dancing with that partner. But I'm coming into this Labor Day rally and this last hour and this last day saying, North Carolina, if you can save the last dance for me, I want to dance with this church one last time. I want to pour out one last apostolic revival if you'll just dance with me. Come on, baby, dance with me right now. I guarantee you that if you can get off your duff, if you can dance with the Father one last time, my God's not only going to dance with us with one last apostolic revival, but I also believe that God is going to take this church home to be with Him. Hallelujah! You might as well dance with it right now. You might as well grab a hold of that hand and let a manifestation of the Spirit come into this house. And every man profit with all. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! My God, there is a Holy Ghost anointing in this place right now. Some of you have been dancing with everything but God. Some of you have been dancing with everything but the truth. Some of you have been dancing with everything but what God wants you to dance with. But it's time to lay it down. I said it's time to lay it down. I hope this is all right to say this, but I feel this in the Holy Ghost. A lot of my special friends of yesterday have gone down the wrong road, and they've turned to go to the charismatic world. I do not visit with them, nor do I fellowship with them, but I felt that I had to go visit one of them just one time, and I was in Port Arthur, Texas when I did this. He pastors a relatively successful church, if you want to use that kind of terminology. Whatever that's supposed to mean, a relatively successful church. I will let you do with that what you feel like you need to. But I went to visit him, and we sat together and ate together for that one meal. And I began to weep and to cry and said, "What happened? You were my prayer buddy. You were my childhood friend. But you have taken a wrong path, and you're dancing with the wrong lover. Dancing with the wrong person." And he looked me in the eye and said, "I'm out of the aquarium now, and I'm in a whole ocean." He said, "Brian, you ought to get out of your little aquarium, and you ought to come out here. Somebody with your ministry could really tear it up out here." I looked him in the eye and said, "Friend, I'm going to take whatever you want to call little aquarium. I'm not in a little aquarium. I'm in the great big kingdom of God." Hallelujah! And I don't want your ocean or anything else. But I looked him in the eye and I said, "Listen, you can say what you want to, but God's doing a work in this hour, and I want to be a part of it. And you've taken the wrong path. You can choreograph your worship if you want to and teach everybody all your business if you want to. But I still believe that when the man of God stands up and says, 'Let's praise the Lord,' it ought to be from our hearts and in the Spirit. And I've just made up my mind, Brother Goldair, I believe the truth. I believe there's only one God, and His name is Jesus. And I believe we can have a Holy Ghost apostolic revival in this last hour, preaching the truth." So North Carolina, I've come to tell you, this preacher is going to preach the truth. I said this preacher is going to preach the truth, and we're going to have revival. And Daddy's going to come down here and grab a hold of the hand of this North Carolina district, and he's going to dance with her one last time. Hallelujah. I want everybody to stand in the house. Musicians to come. I feel a touch of the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. The hand of the Lord is here. The hand of the Lord is here. Ready to manifest itself in this place. Somebody will come into some Pharaoh. Into symphony. As one, together, worshiping and praising and magnifying the name of the Lord. How many of you love Jesus with all your heart? How many of you are ready to make a commitment to the purpose of why we're here? I don't know why, but it just seems like the theme of this whole Labor Day rally is, what kind of church is this? And identifying who we are and what we've got. Men out of darkness into this marvelous light, there's one purpose, and that's to show forth His praises. It's the reason why I'm here. And I've made up in my mind, I don't care where I'm at, general conference, I don't care where I'm at, I don't care who's preaching, if they're preaching the truth and the word of the Lord, I'm going to worship and praise my Jesus. Some of my friends are laughing at me, and they're calling me a fanatic, but I don't care. I love my Jesus. I've been spared from sin. I've been saved from this world. I'm going to praise my God. I'm just a little bit excited about all this. I'm just a little bit happy about all this. And I believe that God can do the work in this hour. If we'll do what we can, God will do what we cannot do. He'll move on them supernaturally. He'll drop the seed. He will prepare them for our coming. If we will do what we can, He'll do what we cannot do. Hallelujah. I think that all over the building we need to join hands right now. I want you to lift that hand to heaven. There's an awesome flow of the Spirit. Awesome flow of the Holy Ghost. Let it flow through you as you make your commitment to take what you've received in this rally back to your local church. Yes. There's revival in the North Carolina district. But friend, there's more to come. I said there's more to come. There's an awesome flow of the Spirit. But don't take it for granted. Don't sit down and be happy about just that. Take it to the streets. Impact every city that you can. Take it to the streets. Let the dope addict know. Let the alcoholic know. Let the divorcee know. But there is a church that can rescue them out of darkness. Church, you've got the light. I said, church, you've got the light. There's salt in this apostolic message. There's still salt in the name of Jesus. Use it! Use it! And let God be glorified. Hallelujah. I know that traditionally speaking, if I were to ask you to clap your hands, because the scripture says clap your hands, all your people, you wouldn't have a problem doing that. You'd clap your hands and shout with a voice of triumph because you love the Lord. I know you'd do that. And if I were to ask you to lift your hands and shout hallelujah, you would do that. That's acceptable. But if I were to ask you to just sort of leap in place, some of you probably would get mad at me. But I don't want you to, because I'm going to ask you anyway. Hallelujah. I'm just a little bit happy about this. And somehow, while some of you are leaping, some of you that may not have revival just yet, but you're doing all the right things. You're teaching all the Bible studies you know how to teach. You're doing the best you can, but you just haven't had the break yet. I believe right now in the name of Jesus, but the hand of God's going to dance in this place. Somebody's going to connect with it. And friend, God is working out a deliverance right now. And all He's doing is waking you up to a revival He's already got. Just keep on doing it. Just grab the hold of it and dance with it right now. You may not see it coming from any way,
but it's coming. I said the promise is coming down that dusty road.